Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the ongoing evolution of consciousness and how we as a collective civilization are emerging to a greater capacity of who we are. And that's why I'm talking to tonight's guest, Marlise Carlin, whose new book is called The Power of Peace in You. Welcome, Marlise.
Thank you. It's nice to be here, Alan.
You know, I think we've been on sort of similar paths in a way. We've been looking, we've been having these awakened experiences. We've been tapping into other realities. And it seems like more and more people are tapping into another level of consciousness. Is that what you've noticed?
What I see is that, yes, we're tapping into higher levels of consciousness, but simultaneously we're also having enormous challenges on the planet. So even the amount of consciousness that we've accelerated to at this point hasn't made a shift to that level of consciousness that is needed to where we can transcend war, transcend a lot of the challenges that we're dealing with. You know what I'm speaking of?
Yeah, well,
and
yeah,
go ahead.
I just want to know what it will it take to transcend something like war. What do you think that would take?
What I think it's going to take is a new paradigm. And that paradigm is that we have been just taking in knowledge, 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 knowledge. And we've gotten overwhelmed, especially in this technological era that we're in. It's just constant information, you know, that we're getting all the time. But that still isn't transcending these colossal challenges that we're facing on the planet today. And so what will make that profound shift is the convergence of intellectual knowledge with experiential wisdom. And that experiential wisdom happens from being in profound connection with that energy of peace that moves through you. Because when you're in that space of connection, and I'm not saying only when your eyes are closed in meditation, I'm saying when you're living and you're allowing that stream of consciousness to move through you, then you're drawing to you the knowledge necessary to move into higher consciousness, to create innovative solutions, to connect with the people that you're meant to connect to, because the two of you coming together, the five of you, the ten of you, are going to create the solutions that will make a profound shift on the planet. And as that experiential wisdom expands out, that's where we see the trajectory to where it does the 100 monkey effect. You know what I'm saying? Because it's getting more and more rapid, higher, 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 higher. And so all of us who are in that knowing, really tapping in more than ever before, releasing those lower emotional, that lower emotional density body that we often carry, moving into higher consciousness is going to make that big shift.
So you're saying, yes, there's this peace that's in us all that transcends the mind, the intellect, and if we find that peace within ourselves and also collectively, then that awareness that we can start to collectively manifest in the world is what's going to make the shift. Is that what you're saying? In my terms, I mean, I guess you said it. I've just put it into the way I understand what you said.
To you, what happened in my life, because I think that begins to demonstrate how I see this transformation happening.
Yes, tell us also who you were before all this stuff happened.
Well, who I was.
I mean, where are you coming from? Yes.
At an early age, 16, I left home. And that was from an abusive father and an alcoholic background. And I knew I had to go. And in that moment, what I did was begin searching. I already was searching for freedom. I was searching for knowing who I am beyond who my father told me I was. And so my search began at an early age, but where I landed was in the world of drugs and alcohol, which of course many people find that place of stillness in a sense within that, don't you? You know, that place of, oh, I can breathe again.
I think that's why they do drugs and alcohol, because they know there's a place to get to. They just use these things as a substitute for God almost, for that altered state. Yeah.
Because you have those momentary places where the world goes away and you're just in that place. But then we know the drug takes over, and where's it going to take you? It's on a downhill cycle. And then I had the great fortune of meeting an enlightened master. And that was my first awakening experience.
Who was that? I'm just curious, because I like to keep track of enlightened masters. And if you... What's that? What, I didn't hear.
Baba Muktananda. Yeah.
Oh, Swami I know Muktananda. Yeah, I didn't meet him, but yes, I see. So you met Muktananda, and there, boom, you had an experience, huh?
Had a very strong experience, and it began already that cleanup, you know, of purifying. I mean, I was living on cocaine at the time. Literally within 30 days, it was out of my body and gone, you know, and I began that journey, and that journey then took me into a time of life when success in the outer world began to come to me, because I'd really transformed my way of being, and I did a lot of study. I studied ancient scriptures. I spent time with Gurumayi. I studied science and evolutionary thought. I studied the law of attraction. I studied leadership, because I ended up being a director in a nonprofit and traveled the world. So I was in all these positions, and as I did that study, I synthesized it into practices that could benefit people. Now, this was before this huge experience came to me, but I was already implementing practices so we could bring understanding into life with that law of attraction, with bringing greater understanding, you know, from science, from ancient wisdom, all of that. Now, cut to, I'm a film producer. I'm winning awards. I'm using these practices in all these areas of my life, and I have an injury. And this injury is telling me that I might have to have back surgery, that I'm going to be, my life's going to come to a halt. And I took it as a message. Get back on your journey. You've forgotten. What is it that you really want? You want that freedom inside. And now, because of the knowledge I had gained of all this different extraordinary work and teachers, I realized that if I believed that I could experience the state that mystics and sages have spoken about, I could draw that to me. That it would not have to be in another lifetime. And as I left time for stillness, and I began holding that intention and opening up that space, a profound experience happened in my life, and then continued over the years and over the months and years to come. And that's where my life radically changed.
And what was that experience?
It was in November of 2001. And I woke up one morning, and all of a sudden I saw everything that I had done in my life that I was ashamed of. And it was like a movie screen going by, one after the next, from childhood, teenager, young adult, you know, on and on and on. And it filled me with so much sadness and pain that I felt I would never be forgiven for having done all the things I had done. And in the midst of that, because of course now I think everything that I thought I could draw to me is not going to happen, because I'm not going to be forgiven. And in the midst of that pain, and I'm literally on the floor weeping and crying, it was this huge field of energy just went whoosh and shot through me with such an intensity that it felt like it was just drawing, pulling all of that negativity, all of those limitations out of my body. And what was being replaced was what I call liquid love, because I just don't have a word for what that experience was. and it emanated through my entire body to such an extent I couldn't even feel like the outer perimeters of my physical body, because what this was emanated beyond that into the space around me. So I literally was blending with everything around me. And it was so sensorial. It wasn't a thought. It wasn't a vision. I was in it. And in that moment, I knew this is what I'd asked for. And it continued for quite a period of time. And then on different levels continued for weeks and months and years as the experiences would drop down and then pick up again, you know?
Would you say this is like a Kundalini awakening? Other people have talked about that. Is that what?
No.
No, it was something else?
As I said, when I met Baba, I had that awakening experience. Mm-hmm. Was an acceleration beyond anything I had known. It was a huge acceleration. And then what I recognized in the days to come is that emanation, that beautiful vibration, was now emanating through me and was transforming people's lives just by, you know, my holding my hand out to them or my speaking to them on the phone and holding that intention. And suddenly I recognized so many things began to shift in my life. And so I thought I'd already done the work in the time that I had, you know, walked that spiritual journey. But now it took me even deeper. And another layer of fears and, you know, whatever limitations were holding me back just began dissolving. And what I recognized is this is the possibility for all of humanity that shifts your perception of who we are so radically and so beautifully that life begins to shift and change. And that began this journey that then showed me I would become a teacher of this, and I was to develop a methodology where more people could experience this in their lives. Now, we all have it. Everyone
we all have,
has
it. What is it that you're saying that we actually have when you say it? We have it.
All have the innate power within us to live in higher consciousness, to live conscious lives. And when a greater mass of humanity is living in that level of consciousness, we will see wars leave the planet. We will see huge innovations happening because people will be coming from that space of caring and love. When you're in that space of peace, you cannot harm another human being. It's just not in you. There's nothing in you that can do that.
So are you in that? Did that space stay with you? Is that like a permanent place that you're residing in all the time?
What I experience is it is always here with me. And it actually moves through me, not even when I'm asking consciously for it too. Like someone could come into my field of awareness and I can feel that energy stream moving through me on a higher level, as though it's going out and reaching this person. It doesn't mean that I don't trip and make mistakes. It doesn't mean that I didn't go through, which I speak about in the book. I speak about, wait a minute, after that experience, I thought, oh my gosh, I should be in unconditional love. Oh my gosh, I should never have another judgment, you know, and that's not what happened. It accelerated my qualities of love and compassion, but I still tripped and fell, and I still had to go through a lot more experiences to discover that place inside me that lived with integrity and honesty and all of that more and more.
And we're and still discovering it, aren't you? I mean,
but see, what I saw when I traveled the world is the universe was teaching me what's possible for humankind and how I would literally develop this methodology, because it had to be so simple that every age could experience it and every culture. And said, that's what I saw. I saw it in Africa. When, yes, my words were translated, but I was out in the middle of the plain, surrounded by Maasai warriors. And literally, you could feel that energy vibration expanding out there in the middle of nowhere. And then I found out later how many people's lives transformed from that one moment. And that man probably didn't understand hardly anything I said. So it's not about what I'm telling you.
But when you say people's lives transform, how do they transform? What happens after this process in a way?
Well, in Africa, one man, within days, quit drinking. And he had been drinking his entire life. He was an alcoholic and completely shifted his way of being and now takes care of his family and runs a business and doesn't drink anymore at all. And he used to only hang out in bars and all of that. And so, you know, the book is filled with one story after the next. You know, a CEO in Amsterdam who was diagnosed with clinical depression and suddenly completely shifted after his first time in the stillness session and began to see a whole new way of living and it just like began moving that depression away from him.
Well, now I'm getting excited. Let's do one of your stillness sessions, okay? We could do it right now. The guys at the radio station can play it. Is that okay? You think this is a good time to do that?
Absolutely. But let me just preempt it for people because this is just 5 minutes. And what I suggest for people is when you have that available to you, to give yourself that time and literally do an 18-minute when you can go deep. But I've developed stillness sessions at different time lengths so that, like you, Alan, busy, busy, busy lives, like so many people, you could wake up in the morning and say, let me just do an 11-minute, you know, and you can, and suddenly you'll just see life changing. That's what happens. But today, let's do that 5 minute, okay, and you can to experience.
But they're all on your website, though. I just wanted to tell people on MarliseCarlin.com website. I mean, some of them. And then you can also order them separately. I mean, how could people get more of these?
The stillness session you'll hear today comes with the book. So when you get the Power Peace in You CD is at the back of the book. And that way, you're doing exactly what I spoke about as we first spoke, right? It's the emergence of intellectual knowledge with experiential wisdom. So now you're walking your way through the book and you're grasping what are these different processes and practices, but you're always connecting it in through that awakening energy of peace that moves through you in the stillness session.
Okay, so let's listen. Doug, are you there? Or Don? Or Seth at the BBS radio. Oh, here we go. Okay, this is a stillness session.
Long. Feel the resonance of love as that energy stream of pure peace dances and moves within you. See that luminous light as it radiates from your core out into this world. The wind is whispering your name. The rain washes your worries away. So you can breathe in the knowing of you. Just breathe in the knowing of you. It's time to open your mind and be free. There is power and peace in you. There is so much power and peace in you. Breathe in the knowing now and be in the stillness within.
Thank you. So now I get a sense of the place of that stillness, that part that transcends the mind that is always there.
Mm.
And it's about bringing that awareness that's always there, keeping that available or present in everything we do. Would you say that's what your work is about?
It is, because what I love, I was a film producer, so I also was someone who was active. You know, meditation wasn't my favorite thing, although I did it because I knew of its benefits. But, you know, I would sit and go, okay, how did that go? Okay, I guess it went well. I sat there.
Right. I know. A lot of people feel that way about meditation, but what's different now?
Well, what is evidenced through this is that people who even have the most active minds are finding that listening to this music where that energy stream is infused, that suddenly you're there, and then you're not.
Uh-huh.
And then you're... And even if your mind did talk during that, what you find is your awareness begins accelerating. And suddenly you're dealing with things differently, and you can't do some of the patterns that you've done in the past that you thought were done, but they weren't. They're right in front of you, and you have such an awareness of it that you now have a choice to create a new habit, to see life turn out differently, because now you're aware. You're aware of that pattern that hasn't worked for you for years.
And so then if people can live in this place, that is what's going to change the world. That is the key.
Well, what I experience and see, and you see it when you read, when you walk your way through the book. Mm-hmm. So is everybody living in this total place of stillness? No. There's from 9-year-old kids who, you know, lost their fathers and were isolating and having a hard time in school, who suddenly went through this huge shift just from listening on their iPad or iPod, you know, 3 times a week, and now suddenly are going and finding other kids who are isolating and helping them getting into society. And, you know, they're already in this whole other way of being, this loving, generous way of being. There's, you know, people who are angry about this, and someone who'd been abused for 17 years at work and in 24 hours got up and walked out of her job and said, this is it, because right after she did a stillness session. So as we all move on our own journey incrementally into this evolutionary time, we are bringing up a level of consciousness so that we can experience it, expand it, and live more consciously. Are we all turn into Buddha tomorrow? I don't think so. But can we all begin living more consciously, be caring for each other? Will that stimulate more innovative ways of shifting, you know, let's fix this thing over here so that we're not diminishing the planet and that we're saving these species and we can figure out how to have clean water and we can use, you know what I'm saying, generate a lot more passion and excitement for those because you're tapping into that space of pure potential.
Exactly. No, I get it. I get it. I'm interested in the space that you go into when you create these stillness sessions. I mean, what kind of preparation, how do you activate that energy to be transmitted to others?
What I recognize is, and I just breathe deep and become still. Mm-hmm. It's like before I give a program. I'll do my homework, you know, I prepare, and then I let it go. And the moment they say, and, you know, introducing Marlies, suddenly words, I allow words to be spoken through me. I allow myself to become that vessel. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's what we all have the opportunity to do, is allow that intelligence to inform our lives and inform our actions. And as we do that, look at this huge shift that begins to happen. Because number one, you become aware of limiting patterns. Number two, you develop new habits. Number three, you now are developing a new behavior because your habits have changed. And when you have a new behavior, you're developing inspired actions. So you're not from reaction anymore. Now you're into inspired action. And when you are living your life from inspired action, you're drawing new life circumstances, which means you're living a more conscious life.
So I'm just curious, if everyone was living at this place, I mean, we're kind of jumping ahead a bit, but what would the planet look like? How would that utopian sort of society function? I'm just curious what you see as what's possible.
Well, I'll tell you, I am a very down-to-earth human being. I grew up in Texas.
Okay. Right.
You know, everything is like down-to-earth, okay? So I might have some extraordinary concepts that are now pouring through me, but what I do is take it into right now. How can we change and transform the way life is right now? So, you know, and with these extraordinary souls on the planet, I often try to say, come on, let me help ground you so that the brilliance coming through you can exist right here and right now, because that's what it's going to take. And so it's really about creating a world that works for everyone. And why can't we move into that incrementally? Do we have to have just this one moment that says, now we're all enlightened beings?
No, maybe. It is happening. It is happening incrementally. I mean, so many more people are open to doing yoga, to doing meditation, to seeking alternatives in consciousness. I think it is happening gradually. I think that there's an activation. There's a higher field of intention pouring into people's awareness. And so it is all part of this. I'm just want it to all happen, I guess. But it's happening. It definitely is. I mean, just this, what this radio station does is dedicate its, programming towards that sort of open-minded, altered consciousness awakening that that we're all hoping for. So I think, you know, we're all doing our parts. We're all here. We're all tapping in. But I do feel like there is some kind of shift that is going to be, I don't know about overnight, but I mean, I get something. I don't know if it's 2012, December 21st, or something. Something's moving. Don't you get that?
I do. Yes, I absolutely do. And I think that it's about each of us taking even greater responsibility for our state of being, and in recognizing that we're all vehicles, and allowing that, as I said, that energy of peace to move through us. Because in the course I recently gave, which is the Power of Peace in You course, I had the good fortune of having Bill Tiller, William A. Tiller, and his wife attend. Extraordinary scientist. He's in What the Bleep Do We Know? And at one time when I was speaking about that energy field and how it's like the electromagnetic fields that are around us, and how as we're responsible, it goes beyond us, 6 feet, 12 feet, you know, on like that, he said, Marlies, what's happening with this field is not even that we can measure it, because there aren't machines yet to measure the time, space, distance that this energy field moves out. So I think more of us recognizing that when we're in a space of connection, that we have the ability to open that field out and have it spread that wide, really makes a difference, which comes into how are you speaking and thinking.
Exactly. How are, yes.
So
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
The field, I like that, but the field is a collective field. I mean, it's individually as we contribute to it, but it's also the collective field of humanity that depends on the lowest common denominator as a range, as a kind of point that sets the ground for everything to rise above that. Do you know what I mean?
I do, and I was on a tour when I heard a man speak who was the founder of Lucy, you know, the first, in Africa.
The fossil. Yes. The first humanoid, or yes, Homo sapien bones. Yes.
Spoke about, and he said this was the first time it even came to him. He said, you know, when there was this huge shift from the Neanderthal to when it went into this whole other species was because of communication. Suddenly, you know, before all these, I don't know, I'm not using the right scientific words, but, you know, they lived apart from each other, all these beings, you know, and they were in forests and they were in jungles, and so they weren't in communication at all. And when it suddenly got to the place where now they found each other and they were communicating because they were they needed to trade, you know, I'll trade you my bull for your fish and da 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 like that, that's when there was this evolutionary leap. And he said, it occurs to me, look at the time we're in. Okay, check it out. We're in more communication today, where suddenly you can speak something and watch it circle the planet in minutes. And what does that to do for our evolutionary leap that you're speaking of? So there's something coming with this combination where we're going to lift up the lowest common denominator with that evolutionary leap as more of us allow that conscious field to move through us and express ourselves in that way.
Yeah, that's interesting because, you know, there's something hardwired into human beings is their capacity for language that other primates do not have. I mean, they have a sort of just simple communication. There's something about us that is about the word, the logos, the ability to make our thoughts manifest as communication and subtle communications that bring about feelings and consciousness and that seems to be part of something, this leap. Yes, I think that's a really good point. And what you were also saying, how we think, that seems to me to be sort of the hardest thing for people to get. They may speak beautiful language, to others, you know, but their own self thoughts, how we think to ourselves, I think is really the key for each one of us to live in a new space. So how do you talk to people or get them to understand their internal dialogue needs to shift? And how do you help people shift that internal dialogue?
What my gift is bringing out this accelerated field of awareness through the power of peace. And I call it peace because everybody has a different name for what your personal truth is. Some call it God, some call it Buddha, some call it the quantum field. But when you're in the experience of it, we lose all the titles that we think we have to claim. We're just in that experience. And as we accelerate that connection to our personal truth, then the awareness comes and our inner teacher speaks to us more loudly. So as our inner teacher speaks to us, that's who you believe, isn't it?
Yes, that's our voice. That's the still voice of God inside of us, absolutely.
So then there's nothing to believe in. And it isn't that inner voice won't change its communication, because the more conscious we become, the communication changes, doesn't it? But it speaks more loudly from that truth. And so you begin to evidence what's working. And believe me, when you hit that place where you're hitting an old block that doesn't work, it's going to ring so loudly you have to pay attention now. And every time you let it go, you're experiencing so much more love and so much more synchronicity. I mean, that's the thing people experience more and more, like, wow, does it keep happening like this? Is it going to keep moving like this?
And it is that for you, you're saying. That is your experience.
Yes, and it's not only my experience, it's what I've witnessed. So that's why I can speak to the evidence that I've seen in the world as I've begun traveling and offering this out. Because I was taught too, you know, because look at the background I come from. And to me, this was like, wait a minute, how can that happen to somebody in minutes? I've never seen that radical of a shift. And my feeling with that is it's because we can now accept it. If this level of playing field had come to us 20 years ago, there would have been a lot more people wearing white suits. you know, because we wouldn't have been able to handle, you know, this vibration, because it's a physical vibration as well.
That's sort of what I am feeling, the acceleration of the physical vibration and the ringing out of all the things inside of us that are not at that vibration, all the judgments, all the negative thoughts that come up to be looked at that can exist at the vibration that we're going to collectively. That's what I get. I mean,
yes.
And so as these things come up for everybody, because the vibration does seem to be shifting, I say to people, just notice them, but don't attach to them. I mean, what do you tell people?
Clarify for me what you're saying. As the vibration comes up, notice it?
No. As the vibration comes up through our system, the negativity, the blocks then arise, the stuff that's been buried. So the judgments may come up, or like, oh, this person's like this or that person. The thought comes for that. And so instead of engaging those thoughts and thinking you're thinking them, watch them, watch the judgments arise or the negativity, and then just notice them arising and leaving, and as opposed to engaging and worrying about them in a sense. Do you know what I mean?
I do. And, you know, you're speaking of that awareness, which is great, because having that awareness is already the movement toward releasing whatever it is that you experience, the judgment, the this, you know, the anger, all of that, because when we're unconscious, we are not even aware that we've done that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. The awareness is like, oh, I'm doing that. Yes.
Guiding them back to themselves. Just like a woman the other day was saying, she was in so much pain because of her husband passing, and that she was really going through tremendous grief. And literally, she said, after reading the first chapter, something broke open inside her. And she said, even in the midst of saying, I'm going through grief, she stopped herself in the middle and said, no, let me re-say that. I'm actually moving toward love. I went, wow. So she couldn't even finish her sentence to describe what she was going through without changing her vocabulary.
Well, that's big. Thank you. That's a great example of a shift right there. Absolutely. I mean, I think there's potential for the human race. I mean, when I see people like Eckhart Tolle, who sort of really lives in that stillness, I mean, that's what I think. Do you agree, or do you not think that?
Absolutely divine being. And I think, you know, he has offered out so many extraordinary gifts. And that's what this time is about, is continuing to bring people who are gifted and who also are moving through. Because look, he laughs, he plays, he this, he's not wearing robes, right? And that's what stopped people for a long time. Like, it's not about following anybody anymore. It's about getting this knowledge and being in the experience, because that's when that inner teacher is resonating out to you, and you're a teacher. You know, we're all teachers and we're all students.
I agree. You know, we're all teachers and all students, but I think what you're bringing to people is so valuable, because it is the awareness of that place that is that the source of all religion and all spiritual practice. And if you can drop into that space and know it, then you know that you're not your thoughts or your lower emotions, that you're the peace of stillness.
Yes. And you know, you'll love this, Alan. When I was traveling, I was in Vienna, and there was a program at someone's home. And they had invited all their friends, and then their father invited all his friends. And a man came in, really big guy, big burly guy, couldn't speak any English. And I don't know, I had something to sign or something, and it was maybe like an email address. And he conveyed to the person, "I do nothing till I know what this is." Right? And I went, okie dokie. And then I found out later he had literally been forced to come by the owner of the house, or he wasn't going to fix his new antique car or something like this. So I never know what's going to happen. I say, okay, you know, what I want you to know is it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much knowledge you have, you know, all of that goes away when we're in the experience of peace. So let's just go there right now. And I began playing a stillness session. And often when I'm in small groups, I'll also place my hands on people momentarily because the energy can really move through my hands very powerfully. And so I went around the room, and I mean, I don't know one single person except the one who had invited me to come. And now the session has ended, and it's going around the room, and people are sharing their experience except for this man. And I thought, gosh, I don't really like ending on someone that who knows what the heck they're going to say. Mm-hmm. But the universe orchestrated it, so okay, here we go. And suddenly, when he spoke, and by the way, when he came in, he had so much asthma that he was talking like that, right? Mm-hmm. Speaking, no asthma. And he's saying, you know, I didn't want to be here. And I said, I got it. And he said, and I didn't want you touching me. I said, okay. And he said, but when the music started playing, suddenly I saw myself in the Grand Canyon. I was an eagle flying, and I felt so free. Can we miss some more?
That's cute. That's a good story. So, but it's not so much about you giving it to people. It's about activating that place in themselves, and then they have it. Isn't that right?
Why I told you this story is because for everyone who said, oh, my husband doesn't think like this, and my child and my father and my this. Guess what? When your soul is wanting to know and hear its call, there's nothing that can stop it from happening. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? And he might not have bought anything else I said, but his experience gave him what he wanted to know, didn't it? Mm-hmm. That might have rung true for him, but his experience did.
No, that's why we're in this time. The soul is calling out in human beings, and you and many of the people I interview on the program are facilitating the awakening of the soul level, which transcends the personality, and that's the hope of the planet, of the civilization that we're in. I mean, that's the only way we're going to really move through this time that we're in, is to have that awakening of our souls.
Yes. But to that inner world, remember that inner world, because that inner world will make our outer world extraordinary.
So what is the inner world? Let's go into it a little. I mean, there is this inner world. I mean, and it's so vast, and it's so deep, and full of so many amazing experiences. How have you explored it yourself?
Well, as I told you, I wasn't that great at meditating.
Right.
And so what I experienced and what I consistently experience through this stillness is I literally disappear. I mean, I literally feel, and you know, and many people have that sense of, where did my body go? I don't even feel my body, because we're beginning to recognize so much that we're not the body that we don't even feel it. Other people feel the body gets so weighted. They feel it like heavy on the floor, on the chair, because it's starting to disappear for them. They recognize, well, then who am I? Because my body's not what's doing this at all. And I often go to this place that's so deep, I'm not sure where I go. But what I see when I open my eyes is it has shifted how I'm feeling, how I'm communicating. And literally, when you look in the mirror, you can see it shifts your face. And people all the time after doing the stillness that people, you begin losing lines on your face. It's like light begins streaming through, because it's releasing that dense body of anger and emotion that we carry that are, you know, still sitting in the cells of our body. And that's another reason why we want to keep connecting in, so we can keep purifying and releasing that, so that we can allow more of that light to stream through.
Because that is where we're moving into, this time of light, this time of, you talk about this infinite mind, right? This infinite awareness that we are. And I think we're starting to realize that. And I just think it's so important that people have or will have and do have these awarenesses. But, I'm looking at I was looking at the convention, the Democratic convention, the Republican convention. These people, they don't really speak our language. I mean, most of America, most of the world is just going about their lives ignorant of the fact that the stillness in them, right? And that's, and maybe some of it's changing in small ways, but I mean, it just seems like such a polarity too, even though we're aware of this huge change. I mean, what do you say about those people that just go through their life day to day doing their job? And I mean, do we have to reach out to them? I mean, what is it that we can do for these people that don't even want it? Like this guy who came to your session, he didn't even want it, but his life, I'm sure, changed at that moment. So I just look around us, me, and just see a world that doesn't care about that.
Right. And when do you care? Mm-hmm. When life falls apart. Mm-hmm. And we are certainly in the midst of massive change. Mm-hmm. With what's happening with the economy, what's happening with the weather, with what's happening, you know, in every area where we have such polarization, as you're saying, where people are not moving towards solution. And that's part of the shift, because the more pain on some level people get into, you have to see it change because you can't deal with it. So you begin looking for something to shift. And what I say to people is, just keep offering love. Just keep offering love. Being that vibration of love, you would be amazed at how much begins to shift. You know, I had a talk with my brother once who thinks completely opposite in probably 90% of everything that's happening in the world today than I do. And I said to him, even if you didn't believe in climate change, do you want to have a beautiful planet that's around for your kids and your grandkids and their kids? Absolutely. Well, you think we should start looking for solutions that could make a difference? Absolutely. You see what I'm saying? So you keep looking for what you can agree on, and you keep offering love, and then people just begin acting from their highest self in your presence, because you're vibrating that highest place. So they have to change how they're acting, or they can't be around you. They will literally leave your presence because your vibration's too different than theirs.
Right. So when you say offer love, I mean, what I get is, or what I do is it's like a feeling of expansion in my chest that I send out towards people. Is that what you mean, or how do you see that when you offer love?
Yes. I think sometimes it's silently, just like you said. And other times, like if people are bucking up against you, it could be even in communication in such a way. Because what I see happening is what I have learned, and you know, what you get to more and more and more is, I say, you get off it, and you get off it, get off it. And you keep coming up with a new idea, and you don't let anything trigger you, and you just keep moving through it. So every time somebody wants to bang up against you, oh, that's okay. What else could we do? Oh, that's okay. Well, why don't we focus on this? Well, let's hold an intention. Why don't we move towards this? You see what I'm saying? So you keep asking people to move into higher communication and not living in that world where you want to swirl. You know, that could be what happened. But now let's talk about what we want to do. What's your intention? Here's mine.
Right. And if somebody triggers you, you don't judge yourself for being triggered, but you catch yourself. I mean, that's what I do sometimes. I judge myself. Oh, that person really triggered me. I got upset in there. And then I catch myself and say, oh, okay. I'll try not to let that happen again. I mean, is that what you do? Or?
Yes. I'll look at it and say, so what is it that triggered me? See, because I live in a state of anger constantly. Everything triggered me because of how angry I was with my father. And then you begin to see it released more and more and more. And what I have found now is if something does set that button off, where it becomes like an emotional experience, you know what I'm saying? You feel it pumping through your body where you know, it stops you from thinking even, because I know, shut down. Do not go there. Do not pick up the phone. Do not take action. Go. And then follow the practices. Do whatever you need to do to shift your state. Because the minute you begin to shift your state, whether it's through playing music, working out in the gym, you know, I had that something happen one day where I didn't get a loan that I wanted. And I thought, why? I think I have good credit. I can't believe it. You know, and it made me feel angry and upset for all the people who are, you know, dealing with this today. And my trainer came over and I said, I want a box. I started boxing and I was like, and I'm not like that. And I don't like that. And, you know, within 5 minutes, all that energy was already moved out of my body. And now I started laughing. And then I can move stillness because I already know that ultimately everything is literally for my soul's purpose to understand my journey. Everything is going to work out. It's going to be better than I can even dream it.
Right, and that is a great, great attitude to have, to see that, they call it pronoia, that the universe is conspiring in your favor. And it is. Everything that comes to us is for our soul's evolution. And, well, how did you heal, if you want to share that anger with your father? How did you actually clear that for yourself?
It happens over time. And it also, you know, became realized when anyone experiences love, like love, capital L-O-V-E, I had that thought that my father might have never touched that in his entire life.
He never experienced love, your father, you said, you felt.
I'm talking the depth of love that when we experience that love that never goes away, that love that comes from our personal truth to us, that igniting power that just soothes everything within us and gives us an understanding of who we truly are. When you know that, you can't be angry at another person because he hasn't even tasted it, because he's coming from a place of unconsciousness. You know what I'm saying? And I got that. A lot of what happened in my father's life was that I actually saw my father as a generous, loving individual who had an illness, and a lot of how he treated me in his life was from that addiction. It wasn't from that sweet, kind human being that was truly inside there.
Well, he was probably suffering and didn't really know it. You know, he was in pain and acted out. I mean, like a lot of people do when they're angry, they're really in deep emotional pain and they don't know how to just feel that. So they react over that. I mean, I don't know if it's true in your father's case, but I do see that with people.
Yeah. And that helps to let a lot of things go in life when you realize, well, not everybody has the same understanding yet, and they're doing the best they can. So the more you send them love, you're uplifting them as well and helping them know that there's another way to be.
So now you travel around the world and you do these stillness sessions and send love. I mean, this is your work, the work of being a loving being on the planet.
I'm not claiming to be a perfect human being, please.
No, but this is what you've dedicated your life to. I know we all have our stuff, but this is your work. This is what you're here to do.
Yes, and that is my great joy in seeing, because of the pain that I lived from and how what I see happening today and how quickly people can recognize, you know, how to leave the past behind and move into these higher states of love. Wow, you know, it's such a gift for all of us. And it's absolutely my gift to be able to share to whoever is ready to have that knowing in their life and watch them go out and share their gifts in the world. That's extraordinary.
So really, because you had that father that caused so much pain in your life, that you are able to now realize this other state. So in a way, your father was this great gift for you to be who you are now.
Absolutely. And I write about that. I say he was the catalyst, you know, that began it all at a very early age.
And a lot of people don't see that because they're still in the process. It's only when you get through the other side that then you can thank that person and say, yes, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be on this path of my own discovery, of dealing with my own deep issues. And, you know, when people are in it, it's hard for them to see. But if we're here to encourage them to work through it so they can get to the other side and see there is something to get to.
And what I found is, you know, when I'm talking about you become aware, boom, and it moves out. We're not hanging out for a month in this thing. We're not hanging out for a week. It's like, get it, move through it, and move on. Because the joy and the courage and the strength and the creativity that begins to pour through you, it doesn't want to hang out there. But yes, go through it, cry about it, experience it, whatever you need to. But guess what? You can move through it really rapidly nowadays. You do not have to hang out in some psychological, oh, it's not like
Right. So how do you move through it that rapidly these days? I mean, through this process you're talking about, through sessions?
Well, you'll find in the book a lot of places and releasing resistance. You've got a whole series of things you can do. But as you notice, you know, like, because I journal a lot and I invite people to journal. One, you get evidence, write down the experiences that begin coming to you, because your mind will try to steal them like they didn't happen. And they're extraordinary and profound. Two, when you're setting an intention and you're moving toward that vision that you want, and you begin seeing evidence within hours and days after you've asked for it, write it down. It's evidence again to demonstrate to you what's possible. And then what you notice is when you're making those requests to become aware of what you need to let go of, what's still hidden, and you see it come to light, write it down. Because I've got books from years ago going, oh my gosh, that's not even a problem anymore. I don't even deal with that at all anymore. It's gone. And that helps us to realize, because sometimes when things disappear, we forgot we ever had them.
Right. So then what's the next step? So, I mean, I like those steps because they help me. So, and so you, as you ask to be aware of the blocks and, be shown the ways through them and you write them down, then what's the next step in that process of manifesting in your life?
Well, it's a whole, you know, I mean, you have the ones about releasing and letting go. You have a process for creation. You have a process for learning to trust, which is huge, for moving into the unknown world, because that's where miracles show up. So there's different processes, and each one of them occurs as you live your life. So as you walk through the book, you know, you can begin taking that as a course. And then you'll see, you know, and you're also doing the stillness sessions, which accelerates that process within you, because your vibrational content has moved to a much higher level. And what you're accessing is that field of all potential. And then you see things moving toward you so much more rapidly, you know, and then you're living in life. So it isn't that you're going to have it all come tomorrow, but boy, does it become so much more rapidly than ever before.
No, that's really good. That's really good. And so people can use this book if they set an intention of what they want to create in their lives, then you take them through this process and they release it and then they come out the other side.
Yes.
Of that.
And I developed an audio course and a DVD, a live course, I mean a live, you know, shot live, so that you could go through the process also, like, you know, in your busy lives, you might want the audio course because you could pop it in a car or pop it in a thing and wherever you're going in the day, now you can listen. And then you just do the stillness session in the morning and you set your intention and you write, you know, what you're looking to release or else what you're moving toward and what you're wanting to create. And watch that start to manifest in your life.
So where is that in the book about that? I guess it's all through the book, you're saying, this process. Is there one particular part where you outline your what you want to create? I mean, because the book is full of really interesting stories that demonstrate these paths. But is there an outline for just going through it all? I'm just curious. Is there...
Every single chapter is like the hero's journey. So you're taking the hero's journey. And then, you know, it has a context for what's happening in your life at the time that you recognize, oh, yes, this is what's going on. You know, and we keep circling through these at different times. And then you have the stories of what happened to people when they were going through this time and what happened for them. And the courage and what was created from them moving through this. And then at the end, you always have the practice so you can begin to move through that practice and experience that for yourself. And then at the end of the book, you have the stillness session CD so that you're always connecting it through that experience.
Oh, I see. The whole book, in a sense, is your hero's journey of awakening and arriving and moving through that those realms until you do arrive at the awakening. Yeah.
Consciously, there's 11 practices throughout the book.
Right. No, that's great. That's very exciting. No, I'm going to definitely look through this and take notes and use it because it just seems like a very practical tool to discovering your own self, your own potential here.
It is. It is. And that's why I put the stories in there, too, because you really get, you know, we all see ourselves in people and watching what they go through and then what they, the new states they move into, you know, you're like, wow. You know, they're so inspiring. They're just really exquisite people.
So what's next for you? What do you want to do? What's your big dream that you would like to create?
You know, I let the universe guide me at all times. I didn't expect to be doing what I'm doing today. That wasn't my vision. And when it came, you know, I had my moments of resistance. And then I recognized that I could be a teacher of this because I listen, and because I've been so deeply challenged in my life, and people can relate to that. We're all the same. And, you know, because I'd been to meditation masters who were so extraordinary, and I would always believe that I couldn't even begin to experience what they had because I put them on a pedestal. And now is the time when we're all here side by side to keep lifting each other up the ladder. And then I invite the universe to continue to invite me where to go, what to do, how to be in life. Because this is my journey too. It's not just about teaching. It's my evolution. Mm-hmm. So where am I evolving to? Show me and allow me to continue knowing how to bring that gift, you know, out to everyone who is interested and wanting to move into that evolutionary time for themselves, and allow me to learn from them as well, because everyone who has come into my life has absolutely humbled me from who they are, you know, and what.
Right. Is there anything you would like, though, just on a personality level, personal level, ego level, ego-driven level?
Well, I would like to live in every country of the world and have programs from everywhere, you know, and get to know the people. I just love being with people. I love the time that I spent with the Maasai warriors. I love the time I spent with the Dogon, and I met the Hogan, you know, their spiritual leaders. I love, you know, discovering what kind of things taught these people that they could see planets and stars in the sky before we even had instruments to see them. You know, so I love the adventure of life itself, and I'd like to live to 100 kajillion in a healthy body and mind and continue evolving and enjoying life and the people.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. And you're going to be traveling. You're going to be coming to New York, right? What do you have your schedule there so people can see you and, you know, partake in? I guess it's on your website, everything, right?
What I'd like to invite people to do, because today, and someone just texted me from Barnes & Noble, my book, sitting between other books. So I was like, yes! What an exciting feeling that is, you know?
Yes, congratulations. So you are going to be in New York at the end of September doing some sessions, right?
At the Wainwright House. And I know you and I are going to be doing something together in October. And I'm at
Kripalu. It's a beautiful place in Massachusetts. It's a beautiful yoga center, ashram, place of beautiful workshops. Yeah, in the Berkshires, Kripalu.
Ashland, Oregon, and Portland, Oregon, and a whole variety of places. So I hope to see everybody any place you can come. But come to the site. You know, I also have gifts for everyone where you could begin to experience that stillness session at powerofpeaceinyou.com. I always like making something simple that the mind can remember when you're listening to radio. You know, powerofpeaceinyou.com. And you can get an excerpt of the book right there and already begin this experience right now and just move into that. And then take a look and see where we can come and meet each other or take the course or the audio, and then you'll be in that experience in the way you like to learn. Because I feel we all learn differently, you know. That's why I did the DVD, because if you're visual, you're really going to want that, you know. And the audio, you're going to want to, you know, play that if you're an auditory person. So.
I think things are also evolving. I think you're going to get more and more information coming to you about doing this work. That's just the feeling I have, you know. You're evolving in this. I mean, we all are, but I really see, you know, this great leap as well happening in your work.
Thank you. You know, can I tell you one more of my intentions?
Sure. Yes.
Speak it out loud, you know, it brings more reality to it. And I've had the good fortune of working with inner city kids. I've watched kids, you know, guys who would never share anything, tough, you know, tough guys, 19, 18, all that, just off of crack a week or two. And I'm speaking about, you know, the abuse I had in my life, and suddenly they begin sharing heart to heart. And after the stillness session, they're like, yeah, man, that got me higher than anything I ever did. And I'm like, yeah, cool.
That's great. That is a great compliment. Maybe too bad you can't package it. And well, you are packaging it, right? It's good.
Like on some app that everybody could go listen to, and then has music behind it. So now, you know, you've got like all these cool musicians coming and saying, yeah, I want to put my music behind your stillness session. So I do the stillness, and then we have some like, you know, groove and Will I Am, you know, thing or Lady Gaga. And then it's like now you can like groove and recognize you're taking that vibration to school. You're taking it to work. You don't have to leave it behind the stillness. Take the stillness with you and groove with it, you know. So it'd be a fun one to do.
Well, why not, right? Right, why not? I mean, we're all moving in that direction. I think we are moving in a culture that will recognize the value of the stillness, but of course that means the commercial media, you know, the television that's constantly going in people's minds. You know, that was a big thing for me. I was like not addicted to television, but it was always on growing up, so I just always put it on. And then I realized my silence, my stillness was giving me more information in a way than the television. I was just felt wow. More complete.
Good for you. That's fantastic. And thank you for the work you do. You really extraordinary with the people you bring on and the information you're bringing out. It's wonderful. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I mean, I just see it as part of this underground, this like... these are revolutionaries. These are people that are rebelling against the established system because we know there's this other reality that exists.
Here, there's one thing in my book. Evolutionary energy, revolutionary time. Don't you know it's going to be all right?
And it is. It is. But it's just interesting. It is very interesting times because I really think we are at such a critical point in awakening on a planetary level, in our own collective planet that's coming together as a global village. You know, when Marshall McLuhan said we're a global village in 1960s, he said that nobody knew what he meant, and now everybody knows what he means. So it's very interesting about what will happen this year, I think, or in the next 10 years, how there really is some mass recapitulations. I mean, the way the 60s were a great revolutionary time, I think this time is equal to that.
Very good.
So I'm happy you're doing what you're doing, and I'm glad we'll be meeting in New York. We'll do a television interview there, and
have to rock and get everybody to come and join us.
Okay. Yes. Oh, right. You're coming to the Wainwright House, which is a beautiful place. The Wainwright House.
Right. I think in October, and a program that we're going to put together.
Oh, yes. Yes. We'll talk about that, okay?
We'll have a good time. So yes. It's been a pleasure being with you. Thank you so much, Alan, and thank you for sharing this out in the world. And I invite everybody, go get the Power of Peace in You.
Power of Peace in You by Marlise Carlin, the revolutionary tool for a hope, healing, and happiness in the 21st century. Nice picture of you on the cover there.
Thank you.
Just those clear blue eyes staring out to space. I mean, in a very peaceful gaze there. So thank you for spending the time and here on this program.
Thank you so much, Shalyn. We'll be in touch soon. Thank you, everyone, for being here, and thank you for offering your love and support wherever you are. And I just want to say in my final words, to ignite your power and inspire peace wherever you go. It absolutely makes a difference.
And how do people ignite their power?
Easy. Drop into that stillness, and you will experience it. And a great tool is to come and do a stillness session.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks. I've been talking to Marlies Carlin. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, you can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net and check my website, newrealities.com. Thanks for listening.